Welcome to Blended, a podcast by me, Living Whole with Sarah Davis, your board-certified holistic health practitioner and creator. This is where I combine my ideas of essentialism, health and wellness, and creatives into an integrative, insightful whole. My whole life is your whole guide to health. Welcome back to another episode of Blended. I swear, guys, I don't just talk about living whole, how I got started, you know, essentialism and my travel journeys. There is some actual real life living whole tips that will be coming through this podcast, one of which we're going to talk about today. And that is how to meal prep. What does it actually mean for you? It's a lot of different things to people, and it really reflects your lifestyle. We're going to go through a couple of my tips as an introduction to meal prep on how I, over the past several years, both as a bodybuilding competitor, but also as a real life entrepreneur and super busy person, how do I keep up my own meal prep in my own real life? The things to do right away. And you've gone to the grocery store, you've gotten all your produce. I immediately wash and prep either my fruits and my vegetables. I put them away. So really, especially with fruit, we're looking at what's available, what's in reach when you go to reach for something sweet or something good for you. And so I often tell my clients, don't limit your fruit intake if it's just your everyday life. One of the biggest things is making sure that you have the right snacks available. And this includes fruit. Don't fear fruit. So if you don't make it easy, you won't pick fresh fruit over candy or whatever else is in reach. So in order to make good choices, you need to have it readily available. And one of the things is washing and prepping your fruit as soon as you get home. Put it in an airtight container in the fridge. The fruits that can stay out on the counter, get a bowl, make it aesthetic. I love to have fresh fruit on the table. It's just a reminder that I have something good to eat right there. This is also a way to make it portable and ready to go for the rest of the week. So if buying fruits and vegetables in bulk doesn't work for you, buy frozen or pre-portioned varieties. These also are just as good. The more convenient pre-portioned, it's usually a little bit more expensive. And I'm also very mindful of the amount of plastic that I like to have within my home and to-go containers and things like that. I try to be as mindful as possible. So if that pre-portioned is one not financially feasible for you, or you just don't want to hurt the environment, you don't need to do that. Just wash and prep your fruit. You can easily do it at home. It takes just a couple more minutes. One of the other things that I like to do, kind of as a side note, is throughout the week, if anything starts to look like it's starting to be a little too ripe or a little too brown, I'll throw it in a container or a baggie and I'll freeze it for smoothies. So tip number one, wash and prep your fruit right away. Number two is when you're looking at meal prep and you're looking at the actual process, what takes the longest time? And it's the time spent in the kitchen. And so one of the biggest things, I don't know where I got this. I just started doing it. I may have seen it somewhere, but I roast 3 to 4 vegetables at a time. And I do it by layering. Depending on what I'm layering, it's typically sweet potatoes, some broccoli, or Brussels. And those are my personal go-to. So this is a serious tip. One that I use weekly. Veggies can take a lot of time to chop and roast, but if you do them all at once, you will be so much more likely to reach for them in that evening or as a snack. And so it just allows you to decrease your time, use it more effectively in the kitchen. Plus, I have these already baked and portioned typically for nourish bowls. So if I can look in the fridge and I see a bunch of vegetables that I can easily toss one or two more ingredients, maybe some corn or seitan or something on top with a little bit of salsa and guacamole, I've got a Mexi bowl there, a very nourishing meal that is whole food, plant-based, and it's just better than calling for greasy, fattening takeout, which you have it, it tastes good, feels good, and then 15 minutes later, you're like, why did I eat that? So roast 3 to 4 vegetables at a time, use your time wisely, stack them in the oven, and look at your roast times when it comes to those. What can you pair together to make a little more efficient? So definitely you can streamline it for more convenience. And when I talk about roast times, I also use this where I'll roast my longer cooking things like sweet potatoes at 350 degrees for 40 minutes on my large cookie sheet, basically until I can easily poke them with a fork. And then I'll add a little bit of Brussels or carrots. Asparagus is a good one that I layer as well with broccoli or zucchini for another 15 to 25 minutes. So it saves some pans and it knocks out three side dishes or, you know, we talked about that Nourish bowl all in a snap. Next would have to be cooking my grains and rice ahead of time. And I will either keep them in the fridge in pre-portioned or one large container to pull from during the week, or I will bake or boil a large batch of them and then freeze them in portions to go throughout the week. So this is especially great for your rice varieties, quinoa, and farro. I don't do it every week, but when I make a meal plan that has a couple of these meals, you bet I'm doing it. So for freezer tips, you can cook your grain of choice and allow it to cool, then portion out the desired amount in a sealable plastic bag or container, making sure it's in a flat layer, and then you toss it in the freezer just to enjoy later. So you don't even really have to thaw them, just simply reheat on the stove, microwave for a few minutes, and you're good to go. I very, very rarely microwave my food because some of the research that is coming out that how it affects your nutrient density. And honestly, working in the cath lab, working in a room with fluoroscopy where I have to wear a lead apron to protect myself from radiation, I just kind of forego the microwave. So a little extra way I decrease my radiation. Cook your grains and rice ahead of time, and you can freeze them in individual portion containers or keep them in the fridge and simply scoop out what you need for each meal, Nourish bowl, or whatever recipe you're making. So my fourth tip is to freeze a few smoothies for chaotic mornings, and also I use on the verge produce. So if I've bought too many bananas for the week or my strawberries are looking a little poor, I'll freeze them for maybe 1 or 2 days of smoothies, and just they're easy to grab and go. This is also great for your wallet, your waist, and your time. You don't have to throw away fruits and vegetables that are on the verge of going bad. You can instead freeze them to use later in your pre-portioned smoothie bags. You can even make a few of these smoothies ahead of time and store for easy grab-and-go breakfasts in the morning. I use recyclable jars or old mason jars that I've had for a long time. So, you know, you can take this smoothie out when you first wake up, let it thaw if it's in the freezer or if it's in the fridge, give it a really good shake. And then whatever with your commute or planned breakfast at a later point, it's perfect as a convenience food that is made from wholesome ingredients that you didn't have to spend more money, use more plastic that is just going to end up in a landfill, and you've got an excellent breakfast in the morning. A lot of my clients also come to me and they're in this cooking for one conundrum. And I completely understand that for all the people out there that are single and live by themselves. Maybe you're unmarried at this point, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever doesn't live with you. So you have to prep some meals by yourself for the week and it seems just silly. So you grab takeout instead. Cooking solo can be a daunting task. And back in the day, it kind of left me eating the same leftovers for a week or getting terrible takeout and not wanting to cook because it was just me. And I just didn't really understand the concept of just cooking for one. Like, what's the point? Sound familiar? So through a lot of practice, trial and error, I changed some of my kitchen habits and drastically cut back on my food waste, my budget. It's been great for the environment as well. So my taste buds, and again, budget friendly. Some of the things that I learned along the way include meal planning as a first step. This is just simply looking at your week. When do you need to reach for takeout? When do you need to plan for leftovers? Or when do you need to plan to cook? And so this also allowed me to go to the grocery store with a better direction and a steadfast plan for the week. Prevented me from shopping in excess and kind of those gluttonous buys. But it also helped me keep on track with my nutritional eating, and I have been consistently eating a more well-balanced diet, meeting all my macronutrients and micronutrients, and this kind of also led me into having more success during my fitness regimen. So there's a lot of really great aspects to meal planning. It doesn't have to be extensive. It can be a simple, let me look at my week. Okay, I need a quick meal here. I'm going to have a cup of rice, a bowl full of veggies that I'll prep ahead and just toss it in the fridge, or at least have the staple items within my pantry to make one or two meals that I know I'm going to need for the week. And on a larger scale for that, if you're having to cook every meal, Monday through Sunday, you can plan your leftovers and your actual dinners and breakfasts so you're not getting tired of the same thing, so that you're eating more balanced as well. One of the things alongside that meal planning, when I sit down to either write a meal plan or make my own for the week, I use a grocery list when I go to the grocery store. So by shopping from a grocery list, I am much more less likely to buy things that I don't need. And the bigger perk here is I'm less likely to forget anything important. I make this list detailed as well. For example, if I need one avocado, I buy one avocado, not the bag of six, which ends up, you know, three or four might spoil. Highly unlikely in my house with avocado, but it keeps me from eating three or four unnecessary avocados. So it cuts down on wastefulness, but it also kind of protects your waistline too. Following that, in knowing how to utilize a grocery list, utilize some meal planning, I also measure. I measure with cups, ounces, whatever I have on hand, and especially with the bulk items. Whenever I am making my grocery list, if I need 5 cups of almonds, I get 5 cups of almonds, and I know my conversions at this point. So if I need 5 cups, it's 40 ounces. Taking the time to familiarize yourself with the ins and outs of measuring and really kind of like, what do you need to know in the kitchen? It keeps you kind of buying what's appropriate for your needs, but also allows you to understand you don't feel so lost going into the grocery store. Now, this is going to seem a little counterintuitive for the cooking for one conundrum, but I utilize the bulk buying bins quite a bit. At first, this was really intimidating to me. I felt silly filling my little bags at Whole Foods with a little scooper, but now I love it and I get exactly what I need. This has been such a save because even with travel nursing, changing assignments and not having your home pantry, I had to learn to almost have a minimalistic style of pantry and only get what I need and move out of this mindset of there's a scarcity. There is always going to be what you need. My pantry wasn't overfilled or I just had too much and it's like crazy. Like, what do I even do with this? I also didn't have to worry about the space when packing, so utilizing the bulk bins to get exactly what I need and not in excess has made a huge difference. The next part of kind of cooking for yourself and even if you're cooking for yourself and your husband or maybe yourself and your kid, you're a single mom and you're just trying to make it, you also need to kind of divide and cook. If a recipe I want to make serves 8 and I only need for 2 people, I divide all those ingredients so that it makes 1 meal or it makes 2, so that I have at least a meal in leftovers or just 1 meal. Again, look at your recipes. That's where the familiarizing yourself comes into play. Don't cook more than what you know you can eat or plan to eat. And if you accidentally do, utilize your freezer. So if you're meal prepping for the week, that's a little bit different, but you're still measuring. Even if you're making something basic like rice, measure out exactly what you need so it also doesn't go to waste. And kind of coinciding with that is figure out your freezer. Learning how to freeze my foods has made a huge difference in the amount of food I waste. I label them with an expiration date. I make sure they're airtight in order to prevent freezer burn. And I even break them down into single servings, whether it's soup or a convenient morning smoothie. It's all ready to go. And I think the last part of really knowing, I would break this up into 2. Be frugal and resourceful. There is nothing wrong with minding your pennies or minding your budget. And it isn't always necessary to stick exactly to recipe ingredients. So let's say I won't go out and buy a big container of something that I'll only use once. Instead, I will find something similar that I can swap that I like to use often that I know is a versatile ingredient that will do the exact same, like chia seeds versus, you know, some fancy egg replacer if I'm just baking. And you can be frugal and resourceful without letting it stifle your adventurous culinary side. So just try to find smaller amounts to reduce waste or find swaps that are just as effective. Now, on some things, unfortunately, you can't. So that's where that kind of simplifying it comes into place. Get a smaller amount. Last kind of, we're talking about meal prep, we're talking about being more efficient in the kitchen, cooking for one conundrum, or just cooking smaller amounts. One of the things that I feel like is a big part of my success in the kitchen is leave no leftovers behind. One day a week, I like to make it a point to try to use up all the leftovers I've accumulated during the week before it all goes bad. These have been some of my tastiest recipes and I'll be completely honest, some of my fails, and then I have to order takeout. So seriously, some of my best casseroles, soups, etc. are made on these days where I'm looking at what I have in the fridge and I'm thinking, I have this random stuff, or sometimes it's typically just my staple vegetables. And I have a few go-to recipes in the way of casseroles, tacos, or soups that I know that I can take any of those ingredients and make a really savory meal from. So when you're looking at kind of cooking for one, quick tips, use your meal planning. Use a grocery list, measure, familiarize yourself with the kitchen. Don't forget about bulk buying. You want to divide and cook. Know your freezer, figure it out and what works. And be frugal, resourceful, and leave no leftovers behind. Those are my biggest tips for the cooking for one conundrum. And it kind of goes in line with meal planning as well. You can apply this to a full family-sized kitchen. We talked about actual meal planning. Is it for you? What works? What doesn't? So yeah, guys, that is my meal planning how-to, kind of the keys to it. And then if you're a single person or you're just cooking for one or two people, it's that conundrum of not feeling like it's worth it to cook for just you, but it is. And it's going to facilitate a lot of your own personal success and kind of nourish your body. So again, guys, these are my trial and error, what I figured out my whole life is your whole guide to health kind of tips. So thank you guys for listening. This is going to be one of many in the way of talking about how to function around the kitchen, how to make your life a little bit better with a whole food plant-based lifestyle. Maybe in the next one, we'll talk about saving money on a plant-based diet. So thank you guys for listening. I will catch you in the next one. Thank you for being a part of the Living Whole community. I strive to keep my content ad-free. So by simply liking, commenting, or sharing, you guys make a huge impact, and I cannot thank you enough. I can't wait to hear your continued thoughts and conversations in the comments. For more Living Whole content, please check out livingwholesarahdavis.com, and I am on most all of the socials, but I can't wait to hear from you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you.